anyway, we're going to read Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they won't ever know or have never known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's pretty harsh and truthful. You know, we have this inclination to sin, you know. And if we're not doing it physically, we've got it on our minds. And you know, and it's the Lord that comes to actually show us. You know, I pay attention to your thoughts, and they're always going away from me. And what he wants to do is to bring us back, even in here. You know, not just in our look good, but in our inner man, the inner deep recesses of our hearts. He wants to occupy those areas and then bring us back to him and keep us with him. So Klamas was just dead on. There's things we can do that we just have to do. I mean, it makes sense. If you found yourself in a routine and it's just the jazz over here and the stuff over there is on your radio, you're missing great opportunities. I mean, look, time is a gift. It's a gift for us to use it wisely, to seize the moments, to get all we can, because the day is coming that you're going to have to minister to somebody. And if you're not filled up with something, you have nothing to give. You'll be able to tell them about Stanley Turrentine. He's not saving anyone today. You know what I mean? It's not happening that way. So it's our duty to do like Klamas said. So we talked about free will the last time I was up here. And, you know, actually, we all have free will. We can act a fool if we want to. The idea of free will, or even having it, or realizing that you have it, it can lure you and lead you into craziness, because you realize once you have an opportunity, you're going to operate any kind of way you want to. The thing that typically stops us from going as far as we would like to go is that we realize there are repercussions for our actions. It's not that we're just good people, you know. You know, I'm not going to do this because I'm a good person. No, I'm not going to do it because there might be ramifications for what I'm about to do. I could get busted. I could lose my wife. I could go to jail. You know, I could lose my kids. I could lose my job. You know, there are penalties that are here in place on this planet outside of the penalties that we're not necessarily paying attention to, which are those that God has instated over his people. But we're prone to go crazy. And, you know, with this free will thing, and then we equate free will, the ability to do whatever we want, with grace, which is really, you know, but we need to define, you know, the difference between our ability to sin against God and what grace is really there for, right? Because it's not a license to sin. Not at all. It's a license for your failure. If anything, God has put in place a provision for your failure, not for your continued unrepentant sin. Right? Bless the Lord. Okay, so Adam and Eve, right after the rebellion, they have two kids. And you think we read about one doing crazy stuff, smoking weed or something. The first thing we read is one murders the other. You know, that's pretty quick. You know, we go straight to murder. You know, one murders the other one. This is how sin graduates. It's not slow. It might be hidden from us, but it's rapidly and accelerating, great word, all over the place, right? So we can't take it lightly, and we don't want to minimize it or underestimate it, right? Sin is doing its thing, whether we are doing our thing or not. Bless the Lord. Genesis 5 says, every inclination, only evil all the time. Humankind was totally depraved. Why inclinations and not their actions? They couldn't like. In the same way Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and everybody else throughout the centuries, throughout the decades, throughout the years, they can't seem to get it together. I think we have this idea in us that we're capable of more than we really are capable of handling. That makes sense? It kind of goes with the territory. For some reason, I think I'll handle that. Oh, so she said what? Oh, I'll take care of that. You know what I mean? Or what are they doing? Oh, I'll manage that. And it's really a not a godly first response. It really isn't. Because even though it looks like it's being managed and I can manage it, even my choice to manage it has repercussions. It looks all right for right now. Then it explodes and turns into something crazier because I didn't take it to God. So am I missing you guys? Are you with me? So I wrote this out. We're a mess. We might have an easier idea seeing just what it is that God has chosen to love, which is us. And not only love, but save us. If we can get a bigger picture of just how much more sinful we are and all the sin that we produce and how much sin we're surrounded by, and how much sin we're engaged in on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, we would see the need for God in a different way. Right? Okay, it takes an eye-opening to see what you need. And if how is it that God shows Moses his train and he comes out of there all white-haired and aged and everything? Okay, if he showed us the magnitude of sin going on today, we'd drop dead. It's too much to handle, right? It's not even our job to handle it all. But if we could see enough to know what we're confronted with, right? And I'm just going to try to take us on a little tour of some of the stuff that we're really facing here on this planet as a result of sin entering in, right? Okay. So God wants us regardless of our state, and we're in a wretched state. So a lot of people are gonna, this is my belief, a lot of people come up against that. No, I'm redeemed and saved and I have no sin. And no, there's people that believe that. And I've had debates going back and forth. And I have to leave them to their sinlessness because I can't manage their belief. I think there's a misinterpretation of the scripture going on there, though, because we are sinners. The best thing about us is the redemption that we've accepted. Okay? Outside of that, we're still as crazy. We still have to pull it in. We have to pull it in. We have to stick with believers. We have to get together to encourage each other to do what's right. Because in a moment's time, we find ourselves asking ourselves, why did I do this or say that or act this way? It's the truth, okay? God wants us, and we are really messed up. You don't want... Who wants a fur coat and it's got prickly all over it, cactus needles? You're going to rub that? You know what I mean? I kind of look at that like God would look at us. Like, I love you and I can't even hold you. You know what I mean? You're all prickly. You're all messed up. And I love you so much. Right? It's hard to to understand there's a cat in my neighborhood. He's a stray. I've been feeding him for the last how many years? I go and feed him like he's my cat. Okay? I remember when they were kittens. He won't, to this day, that cat will not let me touch him. Right? You know, he looks, I know he's hungry. He whines for food. When I bring the food toward him, he runs. When I walk away, he comes back and eats. That's a horrible relationship. You know, I feel so desperate to hug the cat, you know. And I think it was my intention in the first place to make friends with this animal, right? And then I can hug him sometimes and perhaps even move him in, right? It's hard to have a stray cat in your house. If they grew up outside, they will wreck everything in the house. They'll scratch it and tear it up and everything. I still want that. And I'm still hoping that the day, you know, I'm not good at it. So when I'm talking to them and saying stuff, I'm like, maybe keywords here. He'll know me for the guy that says here, you know. So he knows who I am, but he doesn't want the intimacy that I would love to have. Okay, you know. And that's we have to look at God like that. It's like he wants us more in our mess. And yet we keep this barrier up. Even when we think we're doing it, we're still in operation. That's why the Bible talks about our inclination. It's beyond our ability. It needs a surrender and submission to God to pull it under control. I had other examples. If you wouldn't go out and buy a perfume that smells like chitlins and hog maws, right? Okay, you know, and other stupid ones. But I'm going to move on. Because I get, you know how I go too stupid. And then it was good, David, but now don't be too stupid. You know, so they are. So, and even in saying that, I'm being stupid. So we are. But we're the apple of his eye. We are. And you know, and what is my man that God is mindful of us? Right? Behold, what manner is this that he should call us his children? Those scriptures mean something. It means that before we could do anything about it, we inherited sin from Adam. It was not our choice. We didn't get to say who we wanted to be born of. Right? And we can't say that we're disconnected. You know, I shouldn't have the penalty of Adam's sin. You don't have that choice. If he was a billionaire and hadn't sinned, you'd want that. You'd want to be an heir, right? You would want that. So it just so happens that we're being transferred from that connection to the connection that Christ has. It's what we're already done. Don't get it twisted, but we're walking in this transformation process. It's a process. He wants to do it in a process. This is the way he wants to do it. He's going to prove us with all the fun they had offered to them on the cruise. No, you're set apart. You go over here, you better find some Christians because you can't go over to the DJ's booth. You get it? It's like, and he makes us want. He makes us want to please him that way. And there is where you have the good time. I don't care what it looks like outside of there. It looks like they're partying and having the hoopla. Our day is coming. The banquets we're going to have in heaven and on the new earth will far outshine any temporal thing that we see here today. So it's good to pull it in and make it right. There is no Christian vacation. There was a guy, I won't name his name, but Bishop said, how do you quit? How do you retire from preaching? How do you retire from, you don't retire from this. You retire from the secular job, but this is your life, right? It's kind of like, don't get it. People believe they're good. And when I'm trying to minister to people, and I know they're not good, but it's like the Ray Comfort thing, you know, the living waters. I'm a good person. You know, people tend to believe that they're good. Because in a lot of cases, especially if they know you're a Christian, the first thing they think is, he thinks he's good. You see? And they equate good with Christian. And so I have to tell this person, I'm good. I'm not a Christian, but I'm good. And I'm not trying to tell this person that I'm good. I'm trying to tell him I'm a Christian and I'm a sinner just like he is. And that's kind of hard to get across to people when they have this preconception that Christians think they're better. It's the wrong thought for us to have. We're not better. We're saved. This is what it is. God loves them too. They just won't accept salvation, right? So when I'm trying to talk to these guys and they think they're good, they're studying you now. You get it? So it would be probably much better to say, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm messed up, but I live by faith. This is where I put my hope in the faith that what God says is true, what he's going to do in my life is true, and that he's taking care of me by my submission and surrender, right? They're not going to understand that, but it's better than leaving them to the thought that he thinks he's a good person. You look at me long enough, you'll see I'm a horrible person. You study me while my back is turned, you're going to see sin. Okay, you're going to see it. And so I'm not trying to make it, look, I'm not going to try to pride myself in doing good things. I'm going to try to pride myself in living faithful. Because doing good things, you're going to do something bad one day. Right? Am I wrong? Okay, it's coming. So some people are of the mindset that I got to prove I'm good so I can prove I'm a Christian. But that's wrong. Here's how you prove you're a Christian. I did bad and I confess that. That's a Christian. My job is on the line because of the mistake I made that I should have paid attention to. I'm not going to lie because I'm a Christian. You see, look, I may lose my job today, but a Christian's not going to lie and try to look good when he was bad. Right? Bless the Lord. This might be a hard pill to swallow, but don't run around trying to be good. No man is good. What did we read? No, not one. Okay. Bless the Lord. All right. So we have to deal with the I'm a good person syndrome. In 1939 to 1945, good people murdered millions of people over in Germany. These good folks, okay, the Nazis. Look, let me read some of this to you. I'm a good person. That's why I'm not using my own race. I'm going to use another race right now, okay? I could talk about some of the stuff that's happened to my own race, but I care about other races, all right? No, it makes me smart, okay? Because I'm trying to be intelligent and wise in the things of God. How do you reach across party lines? You confess your side of the faults. This is how you don't keep blaming the other side because your side has sin. So Christians are going to have to reach across these party lines. We have to by coming to the table with our faults. It's the truth. If they never take ownership for their fault, God is happy that we bring our faults to the table. Bless the Lord. All right. So in Nazi Germany, there were live burials. They starved people to death purposely. Would go into, go into that country and take all the food out the houses. I mean, all the food, and then barricade the people, and then observe them starving to death. Kids with bloated stomachs and parents can't do anything about it. No food at all. Okay. There would be live burials. I said that. Overcrowding in ghettos. They put too many people in one concentration and let them go at it, you know, to the point of cannibalism. You get it? Okay. So there's shootings, of course. They shoot people in the head. If you try to escape, you get shot. If you look like you were trying to escape, you got shot. Experiments, they would experiment with you with dye and other kind of drugs and stuff, take you, your kids into the hospital, cut them up alive. All kinds of atrocious stuff was happening during that period of time. Okay? Inhumane things, right? That's not, you know, now, this is just in the last 100 years. This kind of stuff has gone on. Cain killed Abel right away, okay? Right? This stuff has been going on all our lives. It's been going on. This is not new. It's just that we're trying to move on with our lives, unobservant if we can, because it's too much to stomach, hoping that it subsides, you know, this is going to take care of itself, you know. But the truth of the matter is that while we turn our heads, it's compounding. It's growing. What's the word again? Accelerating. I need those words so I can look smart. Accelerating. All over the place. So we tend to measure our goodness on the good things we do. The executioners, prison guards, administrators could leave the crime scenes and go home to be loving parents. You've been out killing people, you go home and hug your kids and play with them and love them. He's such a good parent. That's how I measure my goodness, right? I can't connect my actions, right? If I do, I can't be the person I believe I am. Okay, so I have to disconnect and go home and be the man of the year, right? The good husband, the good neighbor, be the president of the PTA, you know, all of that, right? So I think it's in us to ignore the mistakes and dwell on the good. But God wants us to confess our faults. Confess our faults to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do it on the onset. Don't wait. Hurry up and do it. Okay. You know, because otherwise you're going to start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You'll think you're a good person. The critics of the Bible today think God's a bad person. He goes around killing up everything, destroyed the earth. You know, even in that movie, the Noah movie, Noah's hollering, "Not again, Lord." You know, Hollywood puts a spin on everything, right? Because they want to show God as inhumane, unloving, uncaring. The Bible says that the enemy who's behind it all blasphemes God, blasphemes his dwelling place and his people. Those are lies that are disseminated subliminally in messages that you get from Hollywood movies. This crazy God, these Christians love. You get it? They're just like him. We're going to have it hard. We're going to have it hard, okay? All right? We have a walk that's hard. It's already hard. God knew it would be. Jesus said it's going to be. All right? Just look, we have to do this thing in accordance to the will of God and the way he leads us through it. Okay. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances." Funny, we talked about in Egypt this morning, right? Bless the Lord. The point I'm making here is that God is telling them where they're going. Don't do what they did in that land where you're going. And that's Canaan, right? Don't do it. Don't do what? What went on in Canaan? Okay? It's a lot. Use the right words, David, and then you won't. You know, the kids can still take notes. Pedophilia, you know, man-woman, man-mother, mother-son, everybody in the blood of the children that have been sacrificed to the idol, right? Let's eat, the brains of those that were sacrificed. Archaeologists have found the little bones with the holes in their heads from the torture, right? Okay, the bestiality that looked prevalent. It was second nature. On and on and on and on. Canaan was off the hook. Okay? And God is telling them, don't go. Don't do it. Don't be like them in Canaan, right? Look, we come from Canaan. You know where wind came from? Canaan. Fresh from Canaan. All of us that are in here right now come from that. Look, I would never, and I never, and I'm trying to tell you, you inherited sin, and it's in you. And if you foster it, it will take you and have you doing things you never dreamed of. Okay? It's a poison all of its own. Okay? It steers you in directions and has you thinking thoughts. Take your mind away while you're praying. Okay? Don't underestimate it. We can't underestimate it. We have to stay full. Every opportunity we get, fill up. I'm saying this. This is fill up, because it'll help you contend with that fallen nature. It's still there. It's a battle going on. It's still there. Okay? And if you don't feed it, it'll grow worse. It'll mess up everything. You'll be a contributor to this worldwide global sin-induced planet. You'll be contributing to it. We deserve to die. We don't deserve grace. We're sinners. Before we knew we were sinners, we were sinners. Abraham tells Abimelech, beside, she is my sister. All right, a Canaanite practice. He's from Canaan. Okay. That's where he came from. All right. Look, it was before God laid down the Levitical law, but obviously that was going on in Canaan. You can marry your sister, you know, your father's wife. You can do all of it's good. It's all good. When I started working in 79, this guy was telling me about New York. He looked at me and probably thought, this guy, he don't know nothing. He looked like a deer in the headlights. You go to New York, everything goes. Everything. He was so serious, and he was trying to reason with me in a way that my goal is to achieve everything I want. Hedonism in its finest. All that I feel, all my passions, go to New York. This is what the guy was trying to explain to me. Okay? It goes without saying that we have to contend with a lot of very liberal thinking people that want the provision of God, but they want everything goes. They want it all. And if we don't submit to God, we're gonna want it all too. We can easily digress. Feed yourself, stay fed, stay in the Word. Stay with people that are in the Word. Cling, get with them, okay? So I'll keep reiterating it. You got your Bible, like Keith says, open your Word, get in your Word, stay in your Word. Look, we might have to repeat this to each other until we leave here, okay? Because you could be in it and I could be failing. And when you bring that Word to me, that's going to help me get back up on my feet, right? We have to do it. Look, we can't all go selling off listening to Stanley Turrentine. It can't happen. I don't know why I picked on Stanley, but, you know, but we can't. I like other artists besides Stanley, but, you know, he just came to mind. So maybe we need to pray for him. Bless the Lord. In our lifetimes, God extends grace to us. He continues to lead us in the ways of righteousness. It is because we're sinners and because God so often showers us with grace that we lose sight of the justice of God and the darkness of sin. We get to a place where we make decisions based on our own beliefs, our own thinking, and our own lines of demarcation. We draw our own lines. Bayer, aspirin, the aspirin people were part of the Holocaust. I got this in the wrong place. Do I? No. They were part of the Holocaust. They would go and help pay for the experiments that they would do on people because they could manufacture their drugs based on the results of the experiments, right? So they were in it. And so in 95, they apologized in a lecture. It's nothing written in stone, but they were very much a part of it. Unlike Bear, other people will call them bystanders, right? Not directly contributing, but aware, right? Right, right. They're aware. They're aware that there's something going on over here. It might not be right. All those people, what could they have done, right? They got them. They take them out our neighborhoods. They got all this going on. Something's not adding up. But I got to go to work today. You know, I got to feed my family and do my thing, right? Here's my point. We're in it. We're in sin, whether we're putting our hand in it or not. You all right? It's kind of like, I didn't do it, so I'm not guilty. You're guilty born. The Bible says you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So if it's going on right now, you're a part of it. You need to be redeemed. We need a conversion. The honest truth is that you're in it. It's not even association by assimilation. You have a part in this problem. Okay? You're an heir to sin. Bless the Lord. It seems unfair, but you didn't put you here. And so since you didn't, you have to accept the things you cannot change. Right? Bless the Lord. Although there were absolutely no prohibitions against any kind of bestial behavior in the rest of ancient Near East, the Hittites, I don't know how my pages got disordered. help me here. You guys, give me a second. Did I turn two pages? Yeah. Anyway, the Hittites, I'm just going to go the way they're ordered. Help me here, Lord. The Hittites, with bestiality was not prohibited in Canaan. However, God started laying down the law in Leviticus about what we could and could not do. We, the Old Testament is not exempt from us. So don't believe that when people say, oh, that law doesn't apply. Look, there's certain things we're not doing. We're not taking animals up to sacrifice. But God's word, bear in mind, Jesus and Christ are one. God and Christ are one. That was God speaking in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That was Jesus speaking in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We would make sense to follow and try to stick to the precepts, right? And the dictates, not to follow the letter, but to be aware that the letter is showing us how off we can be, right? So when he laid out the Levitical law, what is he saying here? He's saying no bestiality for you, no pedophilia for you, no incest for you, like the land that I'm taking you into. The Hittites, however, came up with a plan of their own. Just some beasts. You can have pigs and chickens, but not cows and horses. So they had their own line, their own standard. Okay? They have a law. The Hittite law 199 states If anyone has intercourse with a pig or a dog, he shall die. If a man has intercourse with a horse or a mule, there is no punishment. Okay, there's more. Look it up. We got Google. We can go out there and get anything. Information has increased. And so, all right, so they had a standard. Why do you think they had? Why do you think they had a standard? Why not all animals? And you know, and why not the kids? The Canaanite kids would kill their own parents. You'd have to sleep with your eyes open. Okay? That could be why the parents were so quick to give the kids up in sacrifice. Because it could be, you know. Because you'd have to sleep with your eyes open. I'm surprised the race didn't just implode and, you know, and go extinct, you know. Because I'm serious business. So you had all these things to contend with. They'll kill you. And if you came through Canaan, they look at you with it. She's healthy. She's a meal. You get it? So Canaanite, cannibal comes from Canaanite. It comes from that. So it's like, if we think about it, God, the atheists and the resistance, the people that want to make God this cruel person, this cruel being, they'll tell you, how could you kill kids? The kids were warped. They were being born and coming into a culture that was warped. What about the poor animals? They didn't have anything to do about it. Listen, you don't want to go anywhere near an animal that's used to having sex with humans. A gorilla will slam you to the ground. Now, see, because you always think only horses and things, but apes, gorillas, orangutans, those things are strong. You can't go in. You have to kill up everything. See, God knows what he's talking about. Joshua didn't kill them all up. He left some people alive and they became stumbling blocks. In our lives, we can't pick and choose. We have to kill it all. Look, every time you get a chance, we gotta kill it. It'll turn into something crazy. Bless the Lord. Now, don't be mad looking at me. What about the kittens? Okay? We'll have kittens in heaven. They'll be pure. I believe the Lord has a plan even for the animals. A lot of people would argue that they don't have the nephesh. They don't have the soul. They don't. Look, God loved them. In the end of Jonah, he says, and the animals. In other words, I care about the animals. Okay? So I don't, but look, they abuse the animals turn crazy. You don't want to go in Canaan, okay? You got to kill up everything. Don't go doing like they do. Stay out of there. God is not a bad person. God is continually calling us to come out. He's not the genocidal maniac that people want to make him, right? He's not, look, capital punishment is what we deserve. This is the truth. We're on death row. We come here on death row. Right? Okay. It's not, oh, I just want to create people and then just start killing them. You know, he's not that God. So we can refute that lie. Okay? This is why he would destroy things and kill. Look, you coming over my house, it's all white inside. You got mud all on your shoes. You're not coming in. Clean your feet, right? It makes perfect sense. It's like God is preparing a place for us. He's not going to let that mud come tracking through. He's going to destroy anything that doesn't want to come into the house on his terms. Anyone that looks like they're in the house, like Keith said, get out. You got to go. His mother put him out. I like that. He needed some putting out. You gotta go. Okay? All right. So there. All our mothers told us that. If we had any kind of mother, you're gonna do it by my rules. Or you gotta go. Okay? Look, there's not room in here for me trying to make it in life and you tearing up life. right? Look, God is preparing a place for us that so we won't have to deal with this madness anymore. Wipe your feet off. Wash up. Clean up. Bless the Lord. Look, we got the kingdom. Earn your place. Earn your position. They're up for grabs. Use this time now to reign with Christ. Use this time now to come into his chambers. Be friends with Christ. Use this time now to lord over some cities, some countries. Use this time now to set yourself up. Resist the offer of this world system. The same offer the enemy offered Christ. He's offering us. It's his to give, he said. But when Christ was raised, Christ said, all heaven and earth are mine now. That's been given over to Christ. We can be so deceived. We go after our careers and we'll do anything to be rich and be on the Oscars. Selling our souls. Right? Look, he doesn't even have that to give anymore. It's a facade. The real reward comes when we enter into the kingdom. It won't be boring. It won't be a church service. I won't be up here telling you what you should do. It won't be like that. We'll be throwing and casting our crowns. We'll have crowns. They're valuable. Casting our crowns down out of awe for all the majesty and magnificence of what he's put together for us. For us, Canaanites. Crazy people. No, you crazy. You get on the freeway, you know it. You praying and listening to your gospel music and you know. Soon as somebody cuts you off, you have to go back. I'm not going to tell you what you said in your head. You know. But you have to go back and apologize. What am I? You know, I'm something else. Because it's in you. It takes work to keep it submissive. To keep it under your feet. It takes work. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and hung himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it's not lawful for us to put them in the treasury since it's blood money. So they took to the council and brought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Now, Judas had a problem. You know, he wanted things to go his way when he realized that his kingdom, where he would be positioned, wasn't going to happen in the next couple of days. His true colors started to show. His true nature. He was bitter, and bitterness leads to rebellion. Rebellion to betrayal, and betrayal to separation and isolation and fuming. Bitter fuming all night and day till finally you get up and betray somebody, really toss them under the bus, right? There was no veil between Adam and Eve. They could march right into God's presence, right? Adam could have asked God anything. Why not this tree, right? Why not? Judas too. He could have asked Christ anything, right? And got a good answer. Sometimes you feel stupid because Christ, you know, he'll run it down, but it would stick because you would get that parable if it was a parable or the way he would explain it. How can any of us wash our hands of sin? It's like it's impossible to do. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and our children. That, first of all, kind of shows you how we inherit this sin, us and our children. Put it on our children. Okay, it's going to be on your children, and we're Adam's children, and it's on us. Okay, stay with me a minute more, because I'm going somewhere. All right. Our kids are growing up with the filthiest and most vulgar music ever today. Okay. They're playing games where the reward goes to the one that rapes the mother and the daughter. Rape lay. Okay? Now, if they succeed, they have to make sure that an abortion takes place. This is digital kid computer games. All right? What's different growing up with those games all day than growing up in Canaan? I mean, let's take a look at it. This is why people can't equate. You're talking to them, their minds are on what with women, they're the lowest form of I rape them in video games. And when the mothers come out against this video game, the argument is murder's been going on in video games for forever. Why is rape worse than murder? Right? Bless the Lord. So look, we have so much to contend with here. The enemy is at work and we're riding around listening to jazz. Right? Now, bystanders, governments, and neutral countries, religious institutions, and folks close to and physically present during the Holocaust. Look, if we were there and Jews were still around in our neighborhood, it would be okay for me to go slap one upside the head, kick and stomp him, and he couldn't retaliate. They set it up to make Jews inhuman. Like anyone that's enslaved, right? They're not human. So the neighbors the Jews had to contend with. Then there were the other neighbors that, look, you're witnesses. Imagine if you lived around Native American people right now, and one night you see the police on your block arresting them all and forcing them to stay in the house and telling you stay away from them. If you go near them, you're going to jail or die too, right? That could happen. Martial law could happen. You don't know what's coming down the pike, okay? We don't know. So we could be a witness to it. We could be frozen to it. You may pass by a family in the morning taking your daughter to the bus stop, and you see them in the window just getting skinnier and skinnier, more emaciated, eyes bulging and everything. You're not supposed to say anything. You're supposed to go on to school. I didn't do it. You see, I'm not killing them. You're a part of sin. Sin wouldn't be here. You contributed something to sin once you got here. You came in a sinner, okay? Number one. So it's a lot of times that we want to think, well, the children are innocent. They were born in sin. We have a problem with don't kill up the kids. They were born in sin. Then you fostered the sin, and it compounded, and it got worse, okay? So now we got a regime carrying people off. We don't really fully understand what's going on. We're walking by it. We don't do it ourselves. But yes, you do. Because the intricacy of the sin that's going on, you have something to do with. When the houses are being sold later, you bought one that was taken from the Jew because it was $100. $500,000 home for $100. Or you work in the admin part. You didn't ask for this paperwork to come through, but you have to type it out. And put their serial numbers and their names and stuff. You're a part of it whether you want to be or not. When the abortions, and it's not just the Jews, 56 million abortions have happened in the United States. Look, since the Roe versus Wade has occurred, okay? 56 million, there were only 6 million Jews killed. 56 million, what's happening here? I don't have a part in that. No, you got a job driving the truck that delivers these fetuses to the incarceration place, right? We have something to do with sin, whether we like it or not. We need God. It's no way you can be good. You can't just be good. It's not going to happen. Bless the Lord. We're not just bystanders in a field of blood. We have to get busy on our knees somewhere, somehow, doing the things of God. If your job is to eat your food, eat your food. Babe the pig, who saw Babe, I mentioned this before, I like children's stuff because I'm childlike. So Babe, the orders for Babe were to stay here in this farm and eat your food. Babe wanted to be a sheep pig. He wanted to herd the sheep and all this stuff. But Babe's orders were to eat your food. Eat your food. If that's your job, eat it. The daily bread. Not just the cookies back there that Rod brought in. Or the daily bread. Okay? Stay in it. We don't know what's coming down the pike, but we're condemned without Christ. We're in sin. Not just, I used to say, well, look, a thought is a sin. Look, you're hands in. You don't want to be. And well, I'm not directly connected. You're correlated. You're connected. Bless the Lord. Don't think because the kids are snapping and popping today that you didn't help usher it in when you were snapping and popping 20 years ago. You helped this descent. Bless the Lord. Look, they got a concentration camp anyway, and I need a job. I'm just going to go feed them. But you want a promotion? You can help kill them. Some people will choose that promotion. Don't doubt human evil. Don't doubt it. And don't sit there because I brought up the abortions thinking I had an abortion. That's not unpardonable. Murder is not unpardonable. God is taking us out of a Canaanite mindset. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We can't escape if we wanted to. Totally depraved. I never look. Okay, so I'm going to talk for 3 more minutes. Then I'll come back with part 2 next month. All right, look, we're totally depraved. I say it again, Pilate, eventually the man that washed his hands of Jesus' crucifixion, will be approached again. What do we do with the name on the cross, right? What do we do about the tomb? You know, it's like I could say I'm disconnected, but I got still logistics that need to be worked out. I'm involved, okay, right? It doesn't just end because I say I'm disconnected. We can't disconnect from sin. We connect to Christ. That's what we do. Because sin is going to be with us until Christ returns. We should, by faith, by our faith in Christ, start showing fruit. But don't expect to be flawless. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Faith in God. A good person is a person that does not exist. Jesus Christ said there's only one good. We know who that is. That's the Father. All right? We can be faithful followers. Faithful, which will help us produce good work out of a flawed situation, unparalleled to anyone else on this planet, because we're a chosen people. A generation of priests set apart for a good work. We can do good works in a flawed body, with a flawed mind and a flawed heart. We can do it. Bless the Lord. That's the only thing good, is the good work he's doing in us, producing good fruit through us by our submission. Bless God. Faith in God to do the following. Deliver me from the inclinations of my heart. Our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know our hearts? The inclinations of our hearts are continually evil, God said. Continually. They just content. If they're not reeled back in, they just go out to sin. Continually. It's just something about us that we just have to take the truth and swallow this thing. We're depraved. But we're called, and we're accepting the call, and that's greater than anything. Confess your shortcomings, even if you have to do it in front of your enemy. Do it. Don't lie, because your enemy will take you to court and to jail. You think you're going to get justice, but you'll be thrown in jail. Don't lie, because the enemy knows when you're lying. He knows, okay? Look, the enemy will use that lie against you. Try not to lie. Try to walk on the path of righteousness. God will exalt us in due time. Lie, suffer the consequences for your wrong, and expect God to exalt you in due season. Bless the Lord. The Lord, he'll give me what to say during the times of persecution. You think persecutions, it's only just beginning for us. You want to eat your food on a daily basis. You want to do the required suggestions here. Actually commands from God. Because persecution is coming down the pike. And if you can imagine some of the stuff in Canaan and some of the stuff that I talked about that were tests on human beings, just let Satan get his hands on you. Be ready to defend the faith, okay? Be ready at all costs. Nothing's more important than being able to confess Christ during your persecution episode. Start doing it now because the episodes are going to get worse. You'll be ready. This is no joke. This is serious warfare. You're in an army. You're in the army now. Take your mind off of you and put it on Christ, things above, that you're going to help be able to advance the kingdom. Quit kidding yourself. Don't give your mind over to pharmakia and all kind of drugs and drunkenness and debauchery. Don't do it. Keep it open for the Holy Spirit so he can lead us into all truth. Having a problem sticking to that? Ask God. He'll give us the ability to stick with him. You ask him for that. Okay? Bless God. Bless the Lord. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, you're saved. Bless God. That's something we can rejoice about. Okay? Again, I say, and again. That's how the Bible will make you understand. You can earn a place in eternity that can't be stolen. It can't be ripped off. It can be yours forever. Okay? You can work now for the kingdom of God to have it in abundance. Okay? There will be hierarchy there. Some will be lower than others because they came in kicking and screaming, snatched out of the fire. Okay? Then there are those of us that are diligent, doing what we have to do. Okay? Look, Ann is on Facebook posting scripture. Look, she's serious about what she's doing. Commend her. Okay? She could be posting Lil Wayne. It's the truth. Look, don't think because she's older that she wouldn't. Do you know how many people are older still sitting in that same bar you used to go to? They're going to die there. Right? Commend her. Commend the people of God. Commend each other. Right? This is it. Don't yawn, Leroy. This is it. I can stretch it out, though. You know how I can do. We need Christ, folks. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, this is not scripture what I'm saying, much more than being, oh yes it is, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Bystanders are also guilty, okay? This whole planet is Canaan or Sodom or Rome or any of all of it, okay? It's all embedded and ingrained and engrossed in it, right? And here we are on top of it, thinking we're not affecting and being affected. Don't lie, okay? Don't lie to yourself. Don't let the enemy deceive you or me. We can't just stand by, call ourselves good, do some good things and some bad things. Good people don't do bad things, right? Good people, if you're good, you do only good, right? Bless the Lord. Okay, we make God a liar if we say we have no sin. We do. So let God be true and every man a liar. Bow your heads with me.